Hey there, Lions fans. It's the M66 North Detroit Lions podcast. It's Randy, Todd, and Rich with you this week. On a somber note, in Northern Michigan, there's been just our hearts go out to Gaylord, Michigan, and Ellsworth, Michigan. Just some tragedies going on out there.
Tornadoes.
Tornado in Gaylord and accidents in Ellsworth. Just, you know, things happen, and we'd like to just take a second out to stay away from the gimmick as we start our podcast. And remember that we are north of the 45th parallel here in Michigan. And we keep it local as we can, and we're, it's three guys, sometimes it's four guys that get together.
Today should have been five, actually.
Could have been five.
Could have been five. But.
And we get together to really just bullshit. Have fun and talk about the Lions and football and forget about the tragedies and the ways of the world that get you down.
So well, yeah.
That's what this is all about. Just Todd having some fun about while talking about the Lions.
Todd and I can contest that, you know, back in the day, thinking back for as long as we've lived here in this area, how many tornadoes, you know, just a handful in the last 40-50 years.
Yeah,
you know?
It's rare, and none of them have really hit
hard
populated area
like this one did.
Like this one did, and that's the nightmare of it all. It saddens me to know that it can happen, and that much devastation. It's changed a lot of lives in Gaylord. Yeah, it's a damn shame.
If it doesn't happen in the middle of the night, which this really didn't happen in the daytime, you know, so. You know, if it happens in the middle of the night, you would think that there would probably be a lot more deaths involved. But you got to be prepared for these things. You know, no matter where you live, you got to know where to go, what to do, and that's, you know, that's a survival thing. So
yeah, and it's tragedy strikes at the drop of a hat.
Yeah,
we learn to live with it and move on.
Yeah, well, it's just a hope. Thoughts and prayers go with all the people who are involved in
as the rebuild begins.
Absolutely,
the community is really, really.
Yeah. Well, speaking of rebuilds, that's what Detroit's trying to do, and
bring it to football again.
Got to bring it back to football, you know.
Well, and that is what we all came here for.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna start off the spring league meeting happened today. Not really much that I can really report on it. Do you guys?
How could you?
No
offense. You know, it's just Goodell was talking and interviewed, and it's mostly the news coming out is Rooney Rule things and
front office hires,
and that's good news. I forget what they call it, but they're promoting equality and
diversity,
fair hiring,
more
right?
Diversity, yeah.
Diversity, and that's a good thing. But that's, you know, I'm here for football.
Well, it's part of the culture. I mean, we're trying to change the culture in Detroit, and this is what you do to go about it.
Well,
you know?
And that's what this league meeting. This is what this concept's all about. It's changing the culture to allow more minorities opportunities. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
No, absolutely. But deep down, Goodell did say that the owners have the freedom to hire whoever they want. However, they're just opening up more avenues to a broader view for all teams out there looking to hire. It's a good thing. It's going to be a good thing because it's going to put a better quality product on the field in the long run for everybody to see.
Right, just like to say that you know, it's not just Detroit that's trying to change the culture, but they're trying to change the entire culture of the NFL. And I think that's coming, but I don't think that's going to happen right away.
Well, just look at what's happening with Dan Schneider in Washington.
Right, yeah, you know? Exactly.
Nothing is happening with Dan Schneider in Washington, right? he's still there. There's rumors, but then they walk back the rumors. Yeah. So he's still there.
Yeah, well, that's why they have these meetings, you know. So we'll see what happens. There'll probably be other news come out about what happened today and however long this meeting lasts for, you know. So
it's a necessary part of football, right? It's necessary, but it's not always entertaining.
No, it doesn't. There's not a lot of game involvement there. It's basically hirings and firings of guys that generally work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, head coaches and GMs, they all can be characters and they all can be fun to watch. But unless their team gets on Hard Knocks, you're never going to remember their name.
Yeah, well, even the guys that are within our division, you know, you say it's like, who's Minnesota's new GM? Who, you know? Or Chicago's, you know?
Chicago.
Okay, well, you guys got that going. So,
if you're a coordinator for New England, you won't even have a job title these days. So,
so nobody's going to remember your name,
right? Well, they may remember your name, but they don't know what you did.
Yeah, you're going to have to do something else somewhere else.
It says he was a coordinator.
Yeah.
He coached. But he was on the staff.
He was the best equipment manager that the Eagles ever had for years.
So, hey.
Well, all right. Well, let's tell you what. Let's kick this off. We're going to start Where do you think you see the offensive side of the ball? We talked about defense a little bit before the podcast, but I really want to solidify what we have in some of these departments, like the running back department. Now,
solidify it this year.
Well, solidify for this coming season. You know, I mean, you got a guy like DeAndre Swift. Do you really believe he's a three down back?
Doesn't matter.
Well, it does. I think it does.
No, I don't think so. I think he's still got the starting job until he loses it. Right. And I think that he's got the ideal backup that is the yin to his yang as far as a running game goes in Williams.
Yeah.
And it's a great 1-2 punch, and I don't see making that any different.
Well, it's going to depend on what Swift's average is, okay? Now, if you get... No, it does. Anything over 5 yards of carry, which is basically great. What he had last year, he'd be a first and second down back, okay?
Sure.
But if you get the third down, then by the end, that's when you bring in Jamal Williams.
Yeah.
To me, all right?
But you bring in Jamal Williams on first down quite a bit. It depends on if you want to pound it down their throat
or maybe do that dump pass to Swift, which has proven highly effective.
Highly effective. He's incredible out of the backfield. Yeah, yes. He's great.
Yep.
But, yeah, he doesn't...
And he's shown ever since that first...
He runs the right tackle all the time, so it doesn't no good.
He's shown since that first drop in the end zone against Chicago, he's very sure-handed. Since then.
I don't have any worries about his drops or as a fumbler. He missed 4 games last year. I'm fine with that. Actually, even this year, if he misses 4 games, I'm cool with it.
There's depth at the position.
Because running backs miss games. As long as, it's not a broken something or a torn something, and it's just a little bit of some strains and some aches and pains that, maybe a 4-game stretch.
You got an owie boo-boo, and, you contribute to this team. It's the bottom line. You're earning your money at your position.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think Swift is, if he could stay healthy, he'd be a 1,000-yard back. But, he's going to get it all on first and second down. Jamal Williams.
But overall, he could be a 1,500-yard back with...
passing and running.
And he'll probably get some of that, too, but he's not the only player out there,
No.
So,
but it could be 800 and 600, you know.
Could be.
Yeah.
You know, but I think Jabot. But
it could, on a good year, it could be 1,300, you know.
And with Williams backing him up, or, well, not backing him up, but.
No, Williams is part of the coach. Yeah.
You know, keep him fresh.
Right.
Well, yeah. So the thing about Jamal Williams is he's in the last, the second year of his 2-year contract. Right. Okay. He's looking for to have his best season of his career right now because he needs the tape for another contract, whether it be here or someplace else. I think he's going to have a great season. And I think he'll do what he wants to do. Now, either Detroit will extend him next year, or they'll probably actually just really let him go, depending on what Craig Reynolds and Greg Bell might do.
Next year's draft, right?
And I think they're probably going to let him walk. I think his personality and the fan base that he's going to get on Hard Knocks, it wouldn't make a difference if he played in the NFL next year or became a game show host. Yeah. He's going to do well.
He makes the team this year. He'll be with us this year. There's no doubt about it. He's a lock.
It all goes back to why Tom was thinking they should think about drafting maybe two running backs, you know, last 2 months ago.
Right.
Because you've got really no future in your running back room at the moment.
Well, see, no, I think you're wrong.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I think
three years from now, these guys are gone.
Powerful, dynamic, and honestly, I like Slid. I like how he plays. I truly do. Do I want to pay him as a starting running back? Really?
He's not a three-down back. That's my deal.
And Jamal Williams, I don't think you're going to want to pay him. I think his ego and personality with this Hard Knocks thing coming up is going to make him pretty much out of anybody's price range. Oh. And he isn't also ran as a running back.
Well, he's better than that.
But he's but he's a great locker room guy. He's an awesome guy. And whatever team has Hard Knocks next year should pick him up and pay him a shit ton.
You see, I don't think Hard Knocks has a damn thing to do with it.
Right.
Let me finish. I think Jamal he's a damn good running back, but I think he's still looking for his best season his career. He needs that this year. I think he's going to have a great season, but I think he's just going to have to work a little harder for it maybe this year because Craig Reynolds is pushing the back door here.
Yeah. And it could happen because right now we have healthy offensive line and oh boy.
Yeah, well, to me, Craig Reynolds is a three-down back. All right, I think that boy is strong enough to run
back.
Yeah,
that's a big take.
I don't think so. He did it last year. You know.
I'm not ready to jump on your bandwagon there, Randy. And don't get me wrong. Okay. I like the kid.
Yeah.
But
he's going to be gone in 3 years. I'm saying Swift and Williams probably won't be here in 3 years from now. Right?
Well, that's what I'm saying, too. Saying is you got Craig Reynolds here that could actually either take over for Swift or for Jamal. The way he runs is solid. He's got great vision. He finds the holes. He tiptoes through the tulips. Yeah. He gets the extra yards. That's why they gave him a contract.
Yeah.
You know, and Greg Bell, the guy, the only running back that we took this year in the draft or as an undrafted free agent, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's more a DeAndre Swift, though.
He's not soft hands. Yeah, I've heard it said a couple of times that he runs like Craig Reynolds. okay? So he's got great vision. He goes through the holes, tiptoes through the tulips. These two kind of run alike, but I think, they are future backs. That's like next year, the year after, when Jamal and Swift, probably Swift is probably going to get hurt.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to be one of those kind of guys.
You could have the next Kenny Walker III come out in the draft next year in the second round.
Second round? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I know. That's tough. I still.
That's where running backs go.
That's why they keep, like Tommy always says, running backs are a dime a dozen. You can pick them up as an undrafted free agent and still get what you want. And that's exactly where I'm staying here, too.
Right.
Craig Reynolds and Craig Bell are probably the two guys that are going to be here in the future. Iggy, he still needs more development. He's got the drops. He's, you know, but to me, that was like one of the only things that he did wrong last year was fumble.
Well, he's also got return ability, and there's possibly some draft picks or undrafted free agents in, like Pimpleton that may be gunning for his job. No pun intended.
Well,
gunning.
Yeah.
Pimpleton does punt returns.
Exactly. That's why there was no...
Yeah, but he's done kick returns, he's a wide receiver, and he's lined up in the backfield for Central Michigan.
Yeah, that's Pimpleton.
So that
I'm just saying Iggy's spot is definitely, you know,
he's a depth player, he's got experience,
he is absolutely on the rocking chair.
Yeah.
Practice squad. I think he's playing to make the practice squad. That's where Iggy's going to end up.
There you go.
Yeah. And that's why they brought in Craig Bell.
Could be.
I think. Yep. So, you know, this year I think they go with four running backs and a fullback. And Kabinda's going to be that fullback. But now they're going to go with like three tight ends, maybe possibly even four, but I wouldn't see that.
No.
I just don't think Brock Wright makes the team.
There's three other tight ends that probably will. So.
Well, Hawkinson for sure.
Yeah.
Then what was his name?
Gavin Everett or Gavin.
It's Garrett.
Garrett Everett.
But
the draft pick and the free agent. Probably both make the team.
More than likely, along
with Hawkinson.
Rodriguez probably isn't going to be highly rated as an undrafted free agent. He's one of those guys we got that everybody was surprised that didn't get drafted.
Right.
And we've got a few of those guys. It's amazing.
Yeah, Deese is the undrafted free agent tight end.
Yeah,
he's more of a big wide receiver type.
There's still probably no room for him on the 53.
Yeah, you don't see it, but intriguing.
Oh, that's special.
Beautiful.
My goodness.
Gosh, I feel like I'm in a Celine Dion.
We all turned our phones off so well.
And you know what? I thought I did.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
I will.
No, I
actually thought I did.
So to me, the running back department is pretty solid. You know,
everyone from last year is under contract and they're ready to go.
Yep. Now, moving on over to wide receivers.
Sorry, guys.
It's
all right.
No, it's cool. the only thing is with our draft pick Williams, he probably isn't going to be ready to go to start the season. So they'll probably. They'll probably keep seven wide receivers on the initial 53, so he could go to IR, and then they'll be back down to six.
They may not need to have an extra guy. They may not need to make a spot for Williams on that initial 53 if they just start him on the PUP list. or the IR to start the season.
I don't know if that's six weeks.
And then you got the bye week, and that's 7 weeks, and he'll start the eighth week.
I think he has to be part of the 53 before he goes on to IR.
No, he doesn't have to be. He can start the season on IR, I believe, but it's an automatic 6 weeks. If he starts the season on the 53 and then goes to IR, then you can do the 3 week thing.
Right. That's
but
what I was
he's
thinking.
So hurt. He's so hurt. He's going to be 6 weeks out.
And he's a rookie coming into the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think
so
about it that
bye week after the bye week.
After it'll be after the bye week, going to Dallas. That's the best time to unveil possibly the fastest man in the NFL.
Right?
It's not a bad time to unveil him.
Yeah. And
so
we've all kind of heard that, you know, it's probably October, November or something like that.
That's October 23rd game.
Yeah. So it'll probably be Cephas that you know, starts the season as that backup spot to Josh Reynolds.
Josh Reynolds.
It depends on how the camp goes. Everybody's got to earn their spot. So.
Raymond probably backs up Chark. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe Pimpleton then is your returner, because if you know, he's got to do more receiver stuff.
Right, but
don't
I think
necessarily want Raymond doing receiver stuff
and return duties and getting double jeopardy.
I don't think that's an issue, Rich. I think they're going to put Raymond back there for kickoffs. I do. I think Raymond's going to be your kickoff returner. I think Pimpleton's going to be your punt returner. But that's just me.
Well, we'll see how Pimpleton does against NFL
size
class
players,
and that'll all get washed out as soon as the preseason starts.
True.
But right now, the kid's a freaking highlight reel.
He is, and
I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, pull up his highlight and watch it. His stuff at Central Michigan is downright impressive.
Slick kid.
that's about, the only real thing with the wide receivers, we got a solid running back group, we got a solid wide receiver room.
Solid wide receiver room is very important, because we didn't have that last year.
Not at all.
No, but the next important thing would be that offensive line. And there's a couple of undrafted free agents that I think,
you might be upgrading your depth here.
Right. Yeah, well, your backups.
It's a good possibility.
Yep. With
big boys that are very athletic.
Jarvis, for sure, from Michigan State. And it'll be interesting.
Well, what's nice about him is he don't get hurt. He plugs and pushes. He don't get hurt.
Right. Yep. And that's what he proved, though. He had 39 starts at right guard,
That's pretty good.
Smart, too. He earned a bachelor's degree in criminal justice.
Hey.
He played in 44 games at Michigan State. Yep. So I think he's got a pretty good shot at the 53, playing behind Vitae. And possibly, maybe he'd even take it over for Vitae. I mean, a little soon to speculate with that, but I think this kid is almost like, why did he get drafted, 6'6", 325.
Well, it's the same thing with
his A. Right. Well, there were so many guys, so many offensive linemen that got taken in the fourth and fifth rounds that by the time you got to his depth, then teams had already taken two of it.
They didn't really need them.
Yeah.
And other people had more positions of need that they needed to fill.
Yep.
And I think what killed it was the depth of the running back in this draft and the depth of the wide receiver in this draft.
Yeah.
As far as quality, you could get them all through this draft at running back and at wide receiver.
There were a lot of linebackers taken, too, which I applaud the Lions for not really.
Yeah, I'm jumping on that bait.
Other than Houston, right? Houston turns out to really kind of end up being an off-the-ball guy.
Yeah, he was. In that respect, he was one of those under the radar kind of guys that, though, you know, and Brad Holmes gotta love him. He looks for those diamonds.
Yeah,
he looks for them, and he spots them when other people just don't see them. I think he could have a long career in the NFL. Is he going to be a standout? Yeah, maybe not. But I do think he's going to make an impact for all the teams he plays for. Just hope it stays at the Lions until he shows that he truly is Houston. We have a problem.
Great nickname.
The problem. So another guy that here are these undrafted free agents that I, offensive lineman from Ferris State, Zian Obeid, I don't know, 6'4", 305. Got a lot of really good division reviews as a Division II standout. They called him one of Michigan's most dominant offensive linemen. I think he's going to very easily make the practice squad and be that Tommy Kramer, Jonah Jackson, you know.
Yeah.
The guy, so, you know, they did say right side, left side, but that's, I think he is more left side stuff, so.
I think he's played both interior spots and center.
Yeah, center. There was probably a tackle that might give someone a run, like.
I don't think he's a tackle. I don't. He's Division II, so to me, if he was a tackle, they'd move him inside.
So who was the tackle is my question.
They called him offensive lineman. Right.
Eze.
Yeah, that's Eze. Yeah, that's up here. This is in the front here.
Yeah.
This kid right here, Abita Eze, I think he makes a 53.
Grasping at straws. That's tough. That's maybe, you know.
I mean, you're going to keep 9 players. Come on, think about it.
Yeah, I'll just think about
Skipper.
He's gone. Nelson. I think Skipper's gone, honestly. Yeah,
that's the guy.
I do. Yep. This guy
he was on
here,
and off the squad last year, so it's not
Out
of question by any means.
Eze started 37 games at left tackle over 3 seasons for 2 different schools. Okay, so.
Yeah.
He's got a fast 40 type, too, for a big man. 5.17, you know, it's 6'8", 334 pounds.
And with your buddy Nelson is the jumbo guy. I think he rounds it all out, except for the tight ends, right? Hawkinson and we didn't. Well, we did sort of, but.
Kind
of,
yeah. Hawkinson and Garrett. And his,
Garrett. Thank you. I know it's Garrett.
And
Mitchell.
Mitchell, he's hurt.
He will be ready to go by fall camp for sure.
All right. He'll probably be the guy, you know, unless he's not ready or if they don't want to
setbacks.
Don't want him to set back, then they'll probably just protect him by the practice squad.
Well, and it could be, depending on what they want, Brock frickin' Wright or Derek Deese.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Deese, you know.
That's making 4 guys, and I can't get with that.
And I agree. Yeah, unless one of them is basically like an H-back and a backup to Kabinda.
Yeah, but then you're looking at...
Then you're cutting a receiver.
Yeah. Or a running back and you go with 3.
Yeah.
And a fullback and a H-back.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit like that would work too. Because you got your only running back that is an undrafted free agent. You know, they all are, basically.
Yeah. Well, you got 4 under contract right now, so you'd have to, like, drop it with Wike, about, right?
Right.
And not bring in
Bell.
Bell. So, you'd be bringing
in... Yeah, I would think that would be a crime, though, I'd be honest with you, because... But
because you'd cut it with Wike and bring in Brock Wright.
I don't see the crime.
I see you. I don't see where they would keep 4 tight ends, though.
Well, that's what you're talking about.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Well, that's what I am talking about, because you're talking Hockenson and Garrett and Mitchell.
As your starter three, the other two will go to the practice squad, but I think one of those two won't be on the practice squad.
Yeah, well, I'm talking 53.
Right. And I said three guys, three tight ends on the 53.
Yes. And I'm saying if there's a fourth on the 53, there won't be. That's what would have to happen.
No, because you know who your fourth...
I can still say that, though.
Right, but you know who the fourth guys are? The fourth guys are either Kabinda or...
I'm with you, Rick.
I already went through the fourth guys. You don't have to tell me what I was saying.
No, don't go there.
Right, because it was Kabinda, and then it was Deese or... So, yeah.
Or Brock frickin' right.
You're Brock frickin' right, yes.
And the other...
Deese and Wright aren't going to make the team, I get it.
Yeah.
So... but that's
Nelson. Cool. And Nelson, don't forget.
I started the whole conversation with Nelson. He's your boy.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I heard it. I was there.
Thank you.
But that's why they don't carry. But because of Kabinda, because of Nelson, is why they don't carry four tight ends.
Yes, I said that. Yeah. So, on to defense. Because we finished all the positions on offense. Yes. And yeah. the biggest thing is there's really no protection up the middle that's been added. So we're hoping Levi and Aleem McNeil step it up a bit.
And Brockers and Tennessee.
Brockers has to step it up with hopefully less snaps, right? And has to play better with the snaps he's given.
He's the leader of our defensive line. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is a coach. In the locker room and on the field, he's a coach on the field. He's teaching these guys how to play professional football.
Is that the practice field or the game field? Because I think Ricky has a real good shot at unseating him out of that first string.
We'll see, because if they follow the money, what's his contract?
Second year is when these young big boys come on. And I can't wait to see McNeil and Onwuzuriki sitting side by side. Because that could be highly impressive.
On third down.
Could be highly impressive on first and second, too.
Third short.
But I think these boys could really take that next step. Second year's where your big boys, now they're more polished. And I was a rookie, didn't really get a shot at showing off his talent last year because of the fact he was injured early on. And he, he was babied into the league. Right. And, I think he was lacking confidence and everything else. But
back injury will do that.
Yeah.
I do worry a little bit about don't mind Randy as he fixes his drink here in the kitchen. I worry he's only had half a season.
Yeah.
Physically, and he's not necessarily taking his second year leap that we're hoping for. Right? And just a worry on my part,
He came in with a tough mental attitude to begin with and then found out his back was screwed up.
Yeah, and I'm not faulting him for it. I'm just like, maybe the second-year leap is a half a season away, right?
Well, possibly. However, kind of think about this. You're a big, strapping kid that has excelled every place you've ever been at, and all of a sudden you're in Detroit, and you can't.
Yeah.
You talk of all of the players on this roster other than Okuda, who has more to prove than Onwuzuriki?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, angle, because he definitely has got stuff to prove. And
Lamonti's in his last year of his contract. This is the last year of his contract. If he doesn't do well this year, then he probably won't come back to Detroit. But when he went at things last year,
I don't see how he
can't be the starter for the next three, 4 years.
I don't see how he can't beat Brockers.
Well, he's a it's yeah, a different.
Enrique definitely could beat out Brockers, or Warrior. Could definitely, I think. I'm hoping he's a rotational guy for the next 5 years.
You talk to defensive line or quarterbacks?
Both.
You're throwing me off here.
Well, you guys both.
You're talking about Brockers and Warrior, and it's like they're two different departments.
You're the one that mentioned Amani.
Yeah, yeah. And he went back to Levi, and I went to Levi, and I'm going back to the corner.
Arawari.
Yes.
And I think Arawari has every opportunity to be better than he was last year. And last year, he was just shy of a Pro Bowl season. I think if he wouldn't have got injured, you know, he can make or break his fate this year. If he can better what he was doing last year, even if he does get hurt. If he can get more than 6 interceptions...
Shoot, if he gets 6 interceptions and doubles his tackles, he'll be a Pro Bowler, right?
Well, who's going to beat him out?
Well, my question is, who's
going to beat him out?
No one.
All right, Okuda?
I mean, on the 53, but as far as the starting gig, hopefully Okuda makes it. They're playing opposite sides, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Okuda is actually going to be the backup this year.
Yeah, I don't.
I do.
Yeah, we've had this fight for 5 months already, and you can keep doing it.
Oh, so that's the fight you guys have been having. We've been having a different fight.
Jerry Jacobs, AJ Parker, you know, there's no way that's going to happen. I mean, you also got Chase Lucas back there, too, though. Watch out for that kid, you know. So
Chase is going to be the outside guy until Okuda gets up to speed.
If Okuda has a good year this year, they're probably going to trade him. That's the way I see it.
No, they'll stick with him and give him another contract.
It depends because
if all they have is 1 year to go by, they're probably going to get a bargain basement deal on a next contract.
I traded for a fourth runner.
And it's Detroit, and Okuda realizes that this team's going with me, and the Campbell Holmes project has proven to be a very player-friendly system.
Yeah.
And who wouldn't want to play for him? I mean, come on, if I was a young NFL football player and had an opportunity to come to Detroit, I'd pack my frickin' bags. I hate Detroit. I've been to Detroit. I've lived in Detroit. But, yeah, I love it too, but I hate it in the same breath.
It's
a
lot different now than it was back then. I'm telling you that. True. I am telling you that right here.
I've been to Detroit fairly recently.
Well, let's not talk bad about Detroit, okay? It's changing. The culture, everything. The city is a wonderful place to visit. We went down there last summer, and it was just one big party from Tiger Stadium to the Red Wings. All over the place.
I'm a country boy. I don't belong there.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm a country boy, too, and I enjoyed the shit out of it. So there you go.
I love every visit, but when I lived there, I didn't care for it.
So, yeah, the linebackers haven't changed a whole lot as far as the starters. You know, we're going into it hoping
Barnes... We got a little freshness. So.
We hope Barnes makes a leap, and then we've got some guys that are probably special teamers.
Josh Woods.
Josh
was being one.
Jared Davis coming back. Now you got a run stuffer, which was your weakness last year.
They say they got a plan for it, but that's not in stone. So we'll see.
I wonder if him and Houston are the same guy.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if Jared even makes the team. I think there's a question mark by him.
I can see him being a fourth or a fifth.
Yeah, there's a situation. I mean, they're not. Yeah, you got one that's better in coverage, and Davis is better at stuffing the run. you know, situational guys, and yeah, there's room for some fellas on the team, right?
Yeah, and you're going to have five of them anyway.
Yeah.
And the fifth one being a tweener that can play on the outside if need be, if they go to the 3-4, that kind of thing. And Johnson, who we just acquired, I think kind of fits that tweener role because he can do it. He played off the ball middle linebacker at Florida State, and then he was an edge rusher when he was at Jackson State.
What's his name?
Johnson.
Not Johnson. Josh. Josh. Is it Johnson?
Oh, my gosh, you guys. Come on.
Oh, you're talking the
Josh Johnson, wide receiver from Tulsa.
No, you're talking about the draft pick.
No, the draft pick. hang on, right here. James Houston.
There you go.
It wasn't Johnson. It was Houston.
Just keeping us honest.
As in Houston, we have a problem.
Yes.
I'm sorry. He was from Jackson State, though, and
the Dion's first draftee.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And he's another one of those guys you really should watch highlight film on because it's pretty doggone good.
Right. So, yeah, so these guys, what else? That's about it, really, for...
Oh, my gosh, I tell you what, this is slow time of year for football. And it's like when we start talking about things, you start running out of things, you start going...
Safety, right?
What the hell?
Let's
talk a little bit about the win-loss record. I know we did this last...
Are you just going to drop the rest of the defense?
Well, what rest is there? What,
you got the linebackers.
I thought we covered that with the Warrior.
Not safeties. That's all I was saying.
Not safeties.
Tracy Walker, starter.
There you go.
And the other guy that we brought in, what was his name?
Elliot.
Okay, starter.
Harris
is a safety.
Cafety.
He's a cafety. He's going to basically be your
Dan
starting.
Campbell.
Number
we
six.
Didn't make that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, he's just going to be the starter, six. Probably slot, nickel, quarter, dime packages, okay?
Fifth safety, sixth corner,
he could
like
play
that.
Some
you do
like
have
red
Joseph, and Joseph has a shot at beating.
Yeah, don't forget about Joseph.
No, I don't forget Jeremy. About Joseph, you know, because I think that's why they brought him in to beat out whoever he could, you know, so.
And we'll see. He's proven to be a versatile guy. He moved from offense to defense. He was a wide receiver, so he knows where the receivers are going. Always a big plus.
Yeah, so in an optimistic review,
yes.
What do you guys think of the offense and the defense in the whole as a team? Optimistically, is it going to recruit into more wins and less losses, or
for the roster,
just a projection of optimistic view of what we have here on paper versus what's coming in the future. Is this going to make our win loss total any better? I mean, what's your optimistic view of this team?
I actually I'm not more optimistic than I was last year.
You're not?
I'm not. I'm still like, I went in last year at like six, seven wins. So my realistic base is thinking, okay, this year they're actually going to live up to those six or seven wins, you know? I guess last year I was at 5 or 6. This year I'm at 6 or 7. So I guess I am one game.
You're right. We're
more.
I'm going. We
talked about it last week with Rocky.
Expect, you know, this year after all the adjustments and stuff. You know, we should expect somewhere between 6, 7, 8, even possibly 9 wins.
Okay. So now you're getting into like my heart and my fandom.
Yeah.
Yes, and so if we go with the optimistic
overall,
truly optimistic look at things, then you're up to 10 wins. 9, 10 wins. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You could. Just looking at the teams, we're playing the last place schedule.
From
and if you look at the last 6 games last year, the Lions were a 500 team. If you're a 500 team playing a last place schedule, then you could win 8, 9, 10 games. Mm-hmm. If you stay healthy and all those things.
Yeah, everything's got to fall into place. And that's basically, Randy Rich and I had talked earlier on this subject, and I said, if Detroit can be at 9 wins, optimistically, when they go into Green Bay in Week 18, they could be playing for the NFC North and a 10th win on that weekend.
And that's a prime time game.
it'd be a prime time game.
And I kind of got it over. Like, the way I see it is, if Detroit could beat Chicago twice, you know, they're going to be a 9-win team. But if they can split with Minnesota and Green Bay, you know, that could be the path to 10 wins. It very well could be. It could happen right here in our own division. That could come right down to that very last game with Green Bay, in Green Bay, in the middle of freaking whatever, February, January.
January. Yeah, well, that's New Year's. Is that New Year's Day? So.
Yeah, very well could be.
Yeah. So 10 wins, if you get 10 wins.
That could possibly win the division, you know?
I think 10 wins will win the division this year. Anybody, the first team to get double-digit wins this year in this division wins the division.
Well, more likely probably will win the division, okay, you should say.
I'll give you 11 to Packers and 10 to the Lions.
Yeah, that's what PFF said.
Right?
That's what they said. They said,
Packers see, I don't win. See it. I don't see it.
The Packers win 11. Minnesota get 9. Chicago's in third, puts Detroit back in it with 6.5 wins in Detroit. Of course, last place again this year. With only 6 wins.
Well, that's where I had us.
Between 6 and 7.
But optimistically, we're at 10.
But who's that optimistic about Chicago? Give me a freaking break.
Well, people are going nuts on that.
Realistically, I'm at 8 or 9 right now, and that's right where we should actually be thinking where we should be. That should be the
optimistically, yes.
Well, what you would expect, I mean, for a second-year rebuild, I mean, you know, they were, what, 3 wins last year?
Yeah.
So this year, it should be double that, 6 to 7 to 8, you know. If you win a couple, you're not supposed to win, you know.
Right. Well, so, yeah.
And in the argument, when all of a sudden, in the mid-season, when a lot of teams are starting to nurse, ouchy boo-boos and everything, and we're coming off a bye week going into Dallas, and you're probably going to unleash on the world at that point a Jameson Williams, who could possibly be the fastest man in the entire league.
Yeah.
Could lighten up and really make things happen for Detroit.
If they could beat Dallas in Dallas, then I think they could probably win 3 straight games right there.
If they can beat Dallas in Dallas, they can win the North.
Because I could see us starting off 2-3 and then losing a bunch and then winning like 7 of the last 9.
Yeah, I have seen that. No, I got them starting off about 3-2.
You know, being a realist.
Yeah.
Well, what you're saying is
I'm still coming out with 9 or 10 wins.
I'm just saying it's
you start off 2-3, and then you have a stretch of losses, and then you just blow doors.
Yeah, well, it's still all speculation at this point. It's so freaking early for this stuff, but you know.
But that's why we do this.
Well, what else you going to talk about? You know, so
to get away from
and
reality.
And this time, we're trying to take it from more of a fan. Rah, rah, go Lions.
Yeah, optimistic review. Yes.
You know, rather than trying to be the analyst, which we normally do.
Well, we try. I'm guilty of kind of like being a better
the heart,
fan than I am an analyst. But, you know, I want my Lions to win. And I think we're on the right track to winning with what we got going on. This roster right here. This is the key. I mean, it really is. I mean, this is a building block here. what we did last year was basically kind of incredible. And the attitude of this team is just at another level. And now I think when they start bringing in, you know, guys like Chark, you know, with these, you know, veterans with these awesome work ethics like Brockers, you know, Brockers is old, but I still think he's part of the team.
He's because a great locker room guy.
Well, who else you got? I mean, you know, what other veteran you got on that line that can take over for as yeah. leader of that on defensive line?
No veteran.
No but veterans.
There is one defensive tackle we didn't mention, and that's the undrafted free agent kid.
Demetrius.
Yes.
Taylor, yeah. From App State.
Yeah, and it. Is it unthinkable that he actually is your fifth interior lineman this year after Pennicini?
Well, with Brad Holmes, I don't think nothing's impossible with these guys.
And to be honest with you, I wasn't watching on the defensive side of the ball in any of that rookie camp stuff. I truly was. Pimpleton just... I gotta find some more film on this kid.
Right.
You know,
I'm just wondering, it's like the only addition that they've really done to the interior there.
Yeah,
of
you
the
know,
defensive line.
And he is a little
And Jayshon Cornell could be that fifth too. So, right. You know, I mean, it's a job to win or lose or delete. Yeah. Depending on how they decide to run their setup.
Well, the kid's got quite a track record here. I mean, you know, he looks a little undersized, 6'1", 291, you know, as a tackle,
shy away from undersized.
I would see him more so as being an edge or a defensive tackle.
Well, and Appalachian State, I mean, how big did he have to be?
He was number 4 in Appalachian State history in career sacks with 26 and a half.
Nice.
He played in 60.
As an interior lineman, that's impressive.
He played in 65 career games. Only missed the first game of his freshman season. He made 37 straight starts to end his college career. Not bad. They won the National Defensive Player of the Week a couple times. First player in FBS to... in FBS history for to be a player to have 2.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, a fumble recovery for a touchdown, and an interception, all in the same game.
That's some stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
It's not unthinkable that he makes the team as a.
I'd like to see a little more, you know, weight on it, but we don't want him to get too much. Right, you don't want him to lose his speed, you know, because I know that's why he's here. He's a speed guy.
Well, Aaron Donald came in at 192 into the Super Bowl. Sure. And the last time I checked, they won that game. And he made the game-saving tackle that ended that game.
Sure did.
So, you know, you can say whatever you want.
I don't know about his weight. That's crazy.
At 192.
I don't. That's nuts.
Aaron Donald was always undersized.
Well, I knew that. But 100 pounds undersized? I mean,
No, 292. Did I say one?
Yes.
Oh! Pardon me, folks. Slip of the tongue. My tongue must have got in front of my eye teeth, and I couldn't see what I was saying there for a minute.
Well, Demetrius Taylor had 5 years at Appalachian State. He grabbed 136 tackles, 26 and a half sacks, 45 and a half tackles for loss, 5 forced fumbles, 3 block kicks, 10 passes defended, and 1 interception in 5 seasons. They went 52-14, 3 Sun Belt titles, and four bowl wins, 17, 18, 19, and 20. And this kid was on that team, so yeah, and you know, like I said, he's the only one that they drafted, so he might be Nick Williams' replacement.
As an undrafted free agent,
a couple million.
You might want to look at, you know, also they have the kid from Ferris State right here and his statistics in his lesser conference of play are great too.
Yeah, but it's, he's offense. He's an offensive
player. I'm just trying to make a comparison statement to the hype that you're putting. If you look at what this kid did, it's incredible. Yeah. But he played at Ferris State.
Yes.
So
not quite App State.
Yeah, well, not quite App State, no. But it's against a little lesser competition.
It is.
Yeah, but you know, guys from smaller schools have made it before. And I don't see where that's any kind of an issue. You either can make it or you can't. You know?
So. Yeah. Anything else? The punters and kickers are set. How about that? Long snapper's set. Pretty optimistic about those guys.
Yeah, Jack Fox. Jack Fox all the way, man.
Better than the beginning of last year anyway.
Right. Yeah, for sure, you know. And I like the kicker on the practice squad, too. I forget
Rojas.
His name. Yeah. Rojas, that sounds right. Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah. And, not much coming up. OTAs, right? Still no pads or anything like that.
Just organized teams.
Activities.
I get to see a little of the fire and get to see the rookies with the old boys.
Yeah.
That's always kind of an exciting thing.
And looking for the speed. That's what we're looking for, the speed. Got to have the speed. That's what we're looking for this year.
Well, and not just that, the motor and motivation, too.
What they did this year is they added speed, and that's what I'm looking to see. And
well, they still don't, you know, they get past the line of scrimmage and they stop. You know, they get to the linebackers, they play two hand touch.
And some of the young wide receivers, though, they sometimes.
The running backs will go all the way to the end zone, I suppose.
Yeah.
You take it to the house if you get that interception, you know. Yeah.
That's what I saw last year when we were at training camp.
The same training camp.
They get that ball, they were racing for the end zone. The other guys were chasing them.
Training camp is all I'm saying.
You don't want no floaters out there. That's what they said.
There's no floaters, but they're also not pushing them too hard.
They ain't slamming the drinks down their throat, so there ain't gonna be a lot of floaters.
Well, it's nice weather. We're now looking at like 90 degree June, I don't think. So,
however, it could happen.
Or May, as it still is.
But June's when the real camp opens up. So, and it's gonna be intriguing. Everything this year is just. Last year was a little scary. This year, I think, is just going to be a little more intriguing because they have that step up from last year.
There are not as many questions this year as we had last year.
Yeah, and
it from the start.
I think so, yeah.
To see how tall that step becomes as that step up goes.
Well, how many steps can they take during the seasons?
Yeah. And how healthy?
That's the key. There's not a big step back.
You got to stay healthy. That is the biggest freaking key in the whole NFL.
Maybe some treading water, but no fallback.
NFL stands for not for long, and usually the reason is because of injury. Stay healthy, boys, and let's play some football.
All right. Well, I think that's about it.
I think so, too.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Good hour. And
I didn't hit anybody.
You didn't? No.
Not yet, but it can still happen.
No slaps.
Still got about 2 inches left in the bottom of that wild turkey bottle. So
nice. Maybe by the end of that. All right, so for Randy at Wooden Tunes 2 on Twitter, myself, Rich, at Piss Poor Packers on Twitter, and Todd at Todd Not on Twitter. And we are the M66 North Detroit Lions podcast.
Well, Todd's on Twitter. They just keep kicking him off.
At M66 and DLP. I don't think the new owner is actually paying attention to Todd. on Twitter. Or Tom, well, or myself, or you. Yes.
Well, I haven't tried again. Yes, but I will.
Right, so, yeah. Give it a shot.
And
Twitter's fun.
When I get on there, folks, you'll be probably about the 87,000th one to know.
There you go. So, watch for Dear One, Pride.
Go Lions.